And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, we have made it. It is finally NFL draft day here on the program. Joe Rex Road, congratulations. We've gotten here.
Thank you very much. NFL draft day, and I'm so smart that I was up at midnight pumping my fists in my living room, dancing around like an idiot. The night before draft night.
Yeah.
So bad that I just – people want to look at this. Look at this on the stream here. See this? This is my sweatshirt.
Yeah.
This sweatshirt's about 20 years old. This is the can't turn the light on in the closet to wake Katie up to get an actual sweatshirt for tomorrow. So
– ended up with that.
Have to wear this one sweatshirt today. Yeah. So there you go.
That's good.
Yay. Happy draft day.
I enjoy
but
that.
You know what? Michelle was up later than me probably.
Yeah. Yes, she was. Michelle, what did you do yesterday?
Yes, I was. But I can really relate to that this morning. I got in at 2 last night, so I got about 2.5 hours.
Nice.
So hence the mute to begin the show. But I did the same thing. I think I walked with my hands out and just picked the clothes in my closet. I don't even know if my eyes were open this morning. But covered the Grizz game last night. They survive. Game 6 coming up in a couple days. I don't even know when their sixth game is, but
yeah, I think they're on the every other day rotation.
Every other day now. I like the Grizz. Anthony Davis, LeBron looked not too good last night, so
you gotta let old people take their days.
Needs a little bit more time to rest. So yeah, really cool experience, but
nice.
A little tired today.
And I came up today, and the DoorDash dude was here with your Starbucks.
Joe was trying to jack my coffee. He's like, "Who is this?" I'm like, "Give it to me right now."
Give me my coffee.
Michelle driving to Memphis and back last night, and is now at the show this morning. So dedication.
That is impressive.
A lot of dedication on this program here today.
That's right.
We'll get into this a little bit more at 7:30 when we talk about the playoffs, but. I got two words for you. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you're okay with the Miami Heat.
All good with him now.
You're all right with him.
Yep. Everything's good.
Unbelievable.
Everything's going well. So
during the playing games, Robbie's like, "Can they just lose already?
This is ridiculous."
Enough.
Jimmy Butler's going to score 50 a game. So see if we can keep that going.
Crazy.
It'd be nice.
Man.
It is NFL draft day. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Jarrett Stillman will join us at 7 o'clock today rather than 7 o'clock tomorrow. So getting a little pre-draft Stillman visit at 7 o'clock today, and our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30. We'll have a lot to get into with Charles on that front, including Aaron Rodgers officially to the New York Jets. So he was introduced to the Jets and their media yesterday. So we'll get into all that and more with Charles coming up at 8 o'clock. We have made it to draft day, though, Joe, and here we are. If you're Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, I mean, you've done the work. You've gone through the big board. You know what your big board is going to be. And now it's about, you know, what exactly does your gut tell you about the quarterback position? If it's not going to be the quarterback position, where else are you leaning as you sit there at number 11? And, you know, if Jarrett Stillman is your guide in the Stillman & Company mock draft that we did yesterday, maybe you're not afraid to trade up. That's what Jarrett did yesterday, traded up with the Arizona Cardinals at number 3.
He was so giddy.
He was very happy.
He was so giddy about his chance to do that and to anger people in doing that.
Yes.
To remind me again in our little, which is fun. That was fun.
That was fun.
Little mock draft. Remind me again what he gave up to get up to 3 to get Anthony Richardson.
All right. He gave up 11, 41, a conditional third rounder next year that becomes a second rounder if whoever they took at 3 plays in 4 more games. How we came up with that, I have no idea. A first rounder in 2025 and a fifth rounder in 2025 was the price.
Yeah, that's hefty.
That's hefty.
Yeah. At least you stretched it out to 25, I guess. You know, so.
The thinking on that was with Arizona, maybe that's the year that if the Murray contract doesn't work out, you're moving off and that you have another first round pick in 25.
Yeah.
That was the thinking on that.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I mean, Anthony Richardson, and I've bounced around a little bit, like Daniel Jeremiah. I mean, I think does he have him going like 20, I think?
I saw that, yeah.
I mean, and it really is, though, like if you tell me right now, that, and I know prisoner of the moment, this draft is amazing. Every draft has some kind of intrigue. Every draft's exciting. It's become – the NFL has managed to make it like we're about to watch the Super Bowl or something, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that this particular draft is more fascinating than a lot of them because of the quarterback thing and just especially I think Levis and Richardson. And Stroud.
Yeah. Well, the team that I'm watching tonight that I think could dictate how a lot of this goes is Houston, right? And you know, Caroline in the mock draft yesterday went Tyree Wilson at number 2 with Houston.
Get excited, H-Town.
Yeah, get fired up. I mean, you know, we talked about this yesterday, but on the FanDuel Sportsbook, he's the favorite right now to be drafted at number 2. So, like, if that's the route they go, whether it's him or Will Anderson, and they take the best defensive player in their mind in the draft, what does that mean for quarterback after that? If they don't, and they do take a quarterback at number 2, who gets nervous and has to move up to number 3 with Arizona? That's whatever Houston decides to do, I think is really going to dictate how the rest of the top 10 goes,
right,
in terms of like the movement that we see.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're Arizona, I mean, look, maybe you're Arizona and you're like, yeah, man, we want Will Anderson and he's worth number 3, and so we're good sticking there. But
sure,
I would think that you'd kind of like the opportunity to move down and add some assets. And so you're hoping, I'm trying to think, what's the best case for Arizona in terms of that? Like, which quarterback?
You know, that's a good question, because I can look at it one of two ways. Either it goes Young and Stroud, and somebody loves either Levis or Richardson, and they're scared to death Indy's going to take them, and they move up that way. Or it goes Young, the Texans take a defensive player, and somebody loves Stroud, and they're scared to death that Indy's going to take him at that point.
I think that's probably the best case for Arizona, right?
I would think so.
The non-QB and Stroud being there. But I'll say that, and then Stroud will just be there for the Titans at 11. I mean, I don't know. Saw some good Jimmy Wyatt videos from Kansas City yesterday of Stroud and Levis and Richardson all talking. They all seem like nice kids.
They do.
One of them will be a Titan.
Are we calling our shot right now?
Well, haven't we already called? I don't even remember the shots. What are all the shots we've called? Actually, I think I'm going to look up our called shots.
I think the only official called shot that I've had at the quarterback spot for the Titans is Hendon Hooker.
Okay.
I don't know that I believe that anymore, but that's the only official called shot I've had.
And then you?
You and I have Levis.
We both
here.
Called Levis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. So,
shout out to
Anthony
Richardson.
Jared Stillman's dream. Oh, my gosh. He'll be so excited. And then, dude, just wait. I really need Richardson, because he'll throw like 3 terrible passes in the preseason and Jared will say sucks.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of his existence. I'm here for all of that.
Guys, I've seen enough. Made a huge mistake. Huge mistake.
I mean, it's kind of what happened with Malik Willis and him.
It kind of is. But Jared seems very excited about Anthony Richardson. It was interesting that I was looking on the text line before the show started, and you know, there weren't that many texts in opposition to it, but the ones that were in opposition to moving up and trading that much to get Richardson were very upset about that pick on the text line.
Yeah. Well, I believe that Richardson would be more approved. Like, if you actually had a referendum of Titans fans, I think more would be fine with it, because I think anybody can watch. If you really watch Anthony Richardson, you'd see the high ceiling, right?
Yes.
Also, I think a lot of Titans fans are Vols fans. And so Vols fans saw very different versions of those two guys against their team last year. But a lot of people will still be upset, and I get it. And Levis would be just outstanding.
Yes, it would. I wonder what if you're on the fence about Anthony Richardson, how much better would you feel about it if he just fell to 11 somehow, which I don't see that happening. I guess it could, but I don't see that happening. But how much different, or if it's Levis, like if you are on the fence about Levis, but you don't have to move up to go get him and he's there at 11, how much easier is that to swallow?
It's a great question. And certainly if you don't have to give up assets and you can get one of those guys, yeah, you feel a lot better. But you know what? If that does happen, then it's like, wait a minute. Why did they fall?
Right.
So they're not that good. And if you liked them that much, why did you just wait for them? Do you really like them? You just sat there. If you love them, go get them. I mean, we'll find a reason to complain.
Oh, yeah. How about this from Zach from Nashville on the text line? It says, interesting that Jim Wyatt didn't interview Levis yesterday. Probably was told not to waste his time because he isn't a Titan. Conspiracy theory. This is from Zach from Nashville.
Nah, man, you missed it. He had a really good interview with Levis.
Yeah, he did. Today.
Yeah, he got there.
Levis was great. I enjoyed that interview. He was pretty funny.
Jimmy's not missing out on anybody. He's got that visor in tow.
Come on, Zach.
They'll get it in there.
It's right there on his Twitter feed, man.
Also, if that were true and he didn't interview Levis, then I would take that as.
Yeah, exactly.
Rand Carthon, Jim, just don't talk to him.
Yeah, Rand, just tell people that you missed him, okay? Yeah, just, we don't want any smoke around our guy. Seriously, like, if we could send Agent 31 in, wouldn't it be great to just see what they really think about these quarterbacks right
this
now?
This is an assignment that could be right up his alley.
There's still a few hours.
About 13.
Yeah.
12 hours and 46 minutes at this point. 49. Excuse me. Yes. MTSU math.
Hey, man. Yeah, 6:11 a.m. math. It's okay.
Yes. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. It is NFL draft day. We'll continue the discussion on the draft coming up next, including a scenario that Joe Rex Road has thrown out there that I find to be very interesting. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the NFL Draft, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you have come up with a scenario that I think is really interesting and also very well could happen tonight, and that is the scenario of the Titans not drafting a quarterback and what that means for the fan base and the interest level in this team as they move forward here. Because, like, right now, with this roster as is, we know the holes that they have and the needs that this team needs to fill, and we know that it's going to be very difficult to fill all those holes in the draft and borderline impossible to fill all those holes in the draft. So what does that mean for the competitiveness of this team and the expectations for this group as they move forward here? You ask different Titans fans, you get different answers on that questions. But we've talked so much about quarterback. There's been so much noise and buzz and smoke nationally around the Titans at the quarterback position that if it doesn't happen tonight and they don't go with quarterback, number one, how do you think the fans react to that? And number two, what do you think that means for the excitement level with this team as they move forward into the offseason and with training camp coming up here in a few months?
Well, yeah, if the Titans draft anyone. Now, I suppose you'd have different grades of this. I actually, you know, the offensive lineman draft scenario is that's the absolute bottom of the barrel of excitement. It may be the absolute best pick.
Could be.
But, you know, let's face it. It's not just that it's an offensive lineman, but it's that this team has been drafting offensive linemen. So, you know, you're sick of that, even though if you need it, you need it. So, like, if there's a receiver, then I think, you know, there's some – that would be two straight years, of course, by the way, with a receiver coming in the first round. But, I mean, there'd be, I think, a little bit more anticipation, excitement. If it's one of the, you know, top of the board corner or edge or whatever, you know, that's probably still better than offensive lineman. Again, I'm just talking fan excitement. But I've thought about, like, the offseason, and I hesitate to ask this question because you guys, like, botched my very good question a couple years ago. It was like, what's the most hyped team since, which was 2021, last year? Was it as hyped as this year? No. So it's not last year. Anyway, I mean, seriously, like, when is – like, this team would be probably the least exciting, or this offseason lead up, build up to a season. I mean, I could go back. I could make the case.
Since last year?
Yeah, there you go. See, last year there was a lot of anger about A.J. Brown.
There was.
But you're still talking about the number one seed the year before, right?
Yeah.
So there was still, like, an absolute expectation to win the division.
Yep.
And anger about the Colts being picked to win the division. And, you know, like, there's still Derrick Henry coming off a fantastic – well, coming off a broken foot, but, like, had been playing at a high level. I think it'll definitely be a lower – I mean, you're talking about seven straight losses.
Yeah.
I mean, go back. I don't know. 17, they won a playoff game, and then they fired their coach. I mean, there was some excitement about Vrabel. You could make the case maybe 19, because 19, Vrabel's first year, they didn't make the playoffs. Everybody's wondering if Mariota's kind of like the last chance for Mariota kind of season. But Derrick Henry had just had this crazy month, and people were like, gosh, is that what Derrick Henry is? You know, so you could make that case, but I think you could actually go back to, like, when they were terrible.
Probably 14 is probably – I mean, 14 is when they drafted the Juan, right? So it was before, like, even because 15, they were awful, but they drafted Marcus.
Right. So everybody's so excited, like, okay, about the new quarterback.
Well, and then in 16, it was the second year of Marcus, and, you know, there was all that. They'd made the DeMarco Murray trade. So, I mean, I'd go back to probably 14 would probably be my answer. That's a long time ago.
9 years. Yeah. So, and the thing is, if this is the scenario, they obviously have. Probably, just on paper, they have a better chance to be good this year.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just the question of how good.
Exactly.
And how good do they think they can be?
How good do they think they can be? And, you know, here's the other question. If they go, let's say offensive lineman, because we already got a text hoping they go offensive lineman tonight. Let's say they do that. And let's say that player hits, whether that's Skoronski or that's Paris Johnson Jr. or Broderick Jones or whoever it is. Let's say that player hits and they can play immediately and they're a good starter immediately. Okay, that's great. So what does that mean for, like, I guess how do you quantify that as to what that means for this team next year? Still not knowing exactly what Treylon Burks is and the rest of the wide receiving room there and the offense, what exactly it's going to look like. Like, obviously it helps. Like, there's going to be excitement if you know, the first 4 weeks roll around and that player is really good at offensive line, but, you know, what does – let's say they hit on whoever they take at offensive line this year. What do you think that does for this team immediately? Not 2-3 years from now, but immediately this year.
Well, that's a good question. That's why, like, if it were to be Skoronski, again, that just seems like the most boring outcome possibly. Peter Skoronski! You know,
but left guard.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Actually, if you want to talk about instant impact, if it worked out that Dillard is ready to be your left tackle and Brunskill is ready to be your right guard and Brewer's best position is center and Petit Frere takes a jump, that's a plug-and-play starting left guard, and you actually might have a much better offensive line this year than last year. There's a ton of ifs, but that might actually be the offensive line best outcome, because if you draft Broderick Jones or Paris Johnson – one of them may end up being your starting left tackle, and Dillard could bump inside too. So, I mean, there's different possibilities. But I feel like Skoronski's plug and play if Dillard is actually starting left tackle quality.
I love this day because there's all sorts of stuff that just comes out today, and how much of it's smoke, how much of it is actually meaningful. Like, I saw this one last night, and, you know, we brought up this account before. It's at ML Football on Twitter, and they're an independent, you know, news reporter approved by the NFL and the NFLPA. Mm-hmm. And they put it out there last night. It says Boston College superstar wide receiver Zay Flowers' final official visit was with the Titans, who pick at 11 tomorrow night. And while he was leaving, they told Zay, quote, "Get used to Nashville," source says. This is from ML Football on Twitter.
Get used to Nashville, because the Jags are going to take you in the second round. And you're going to be here every year, buddy. So
be around all the time.
Well, put a little flag next to that one. We'll see. I see a lot of reaction to that.
I think Zay Flowers would qualify as a shock at pick number 11 to me.
That would be. Now maybe the Titans feel like they've got something in place. If the board falls the way they think, that
maybe
they're going to trade back.
Maybe
they're going to take Zay. If that's the case, okay. I think, look, I'm with Kaharski, whose beautiful face was in the studio yesterday, just, you know, juicing up our internet numbers. Yeah. I'm with him. Like, if they can trade back, that might be the best thing, because they do. They need quantity, without question.
I got a texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "I don't know if I'm speaking for the general fan base that I would be ecstatic to draft an elite offensive tackle or wide receiver instead of drafting these jokester quarterbacks just on potential." This is from a texter on the text line. Well, the thing with that is, Like, aren't to a certain degree you're drafting everybody on potential? Like, it's the draft. Like, you don't know for sure. Like, say they take,
yes,
you know, say they take Peter Skoronski tonight. Well, you know, people think he can play left tackle. People also think that maybe he's a guard in the NFL level. Not only do they think he's a guard, maybe they think he could be a really good guard in the NFL. But it's still potential, right? Like, you got to go out there and prove that you can do it.
Just reserve him a spot on that Pro Bowl cornhole team.
Right. I mean,
he's a lock. Yeah, no. I think the point there, I would assume, is that Richardson and Levis in particular, right? Those
sure.
are two guys that some people are like, they could go number three. It's like, don't you have to be great in college to be considered in the NFL?
I get it. But, I mean, that just the potential thing. And, you know, we brought this up a little bit yesterday with, I think LD had it on the text line. Like, for some reason, like, we've gotten to the point now where it's like, well, if they take a quarterback, that's a huge risk. But if they take a wide receiver at number 11, that'll work out, because we've seen that happen a lot. Or an offensive lineman with their first round pick, that's for sure going to work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you can botch it in every single spot. Maybe they need to take a kicker, but like if they
do need one of those,
they do. I wouldn't be surprised later in the draft if they take like Zay Flowers at 11. It's a different position, but that's also a reach relative to conventional wisdom on these prospects. Now, I understand there's plenty of teams. I mean, the Raiders, when Mike Mayock was Raiders GM, they just kept taking a bunch of fourth rounders in the first round. It didn't work out for them, but I'm just saying, every team has their own big board. They can be very different than the media groupthink big board, but that would be a reach. You see Ron's text. Good morning. With this being Rand's first ever draft as a GM, do you think what he does will show the organization what kind of GM we have for the future? Well, Rand's not on an island here tonight doing this stuff at all.
No, I mean, this is as much Vrabel as it is Rand. Now, I also, like, whatever he does tonight, we're not going to know for a while, right? Now, I get the point. Like, if let's say he's super aggressive, and they go up and they make the trade up to get a quarterback. Like, does that signal to you that, oh, man, okay, this guy is all in? But, again, they're not moving up to go get a quarterback unless Vrabel is like, yep, that's my guy. Let's go do it.
Right. And even if they do move up to get a quarterback, it doesn't. That I would not predict them to do that next year or the year after or the year after the year. You know, I mean, John Robinson came in and was able to have number one overall, and he did a great job of spinning that into a bunch of picks, and for the most part, and that was his second best draft. But I'm trying to think after that, did Robinson ever trade down the rest of his tenure as GM? I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
In the first round, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Well, wait a minute. I'm trying to think. What was the Burks situation last year? No, because
they moved up yeah.
with the AJ trade. So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, if you're saying like aggressive, I mean, look, I just, what the type of GM you want is the type of GM who makes good choices, whether they go up, down. I mean, there's probably year after year, it's going to be different scenarios. You got to be able to do all that stuff, but mainly just be good at looking at football players and saying that potential will actually turn into production.
Chuck on the text line says, I consider this a rebuild year, so not big expectations to begin with, from Chuck on the text line. Going back to our what happens if they take an offensive lineman or somebody else tonight that's not a quarterback.
Okay. I feel like there's a lot of sentiment for the non-QB.
I feel like there's a decent amount, yeah. Now, but I also feel this. I feel like there's a lot of sentiment for the non-QB so that you get the QB next year. And we've talked about that. It's like, well, that's a heck of a game to play. Like, to me, if you feel like you got one this year, go get him. Like, this idea that you can just go 8-9 or whatever it'll be next year and then draft your franchise quarterback, I think it's going to be really hard to pull off.
Maybe Joe Milton, if he gets benched in like week 3, you can get him like the 4th round.
Could.
That might be the answer.
Joe's tanking for the Titans.
He gets benched in week 3. He shows up to his pro day at Tennessee and throws 136 yards. And the Titans, so like, you know what? Third round flyer. Why not?
Melting for Milton.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the NFL draft. What would you like to see the Titans do tonight? Your thoughts on Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, everything on the table. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders tonight as they broadcast from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29 Degree Beer. Looking forward to that broadcast tonight, particularly if the Titans take Anthony Richardson. I think we'll see you. A very excited Jared Stillman if that happens.
What's the reverse of that? What's the meltdown pick?
Levis,
I guess, or is there?
See, I think he would even be okay with Levis, depending on where they took him.
He represents the segment of the fan base that is just all in. Just please draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Something new, something different, yeah. A new direction.
Yeah. By the way, Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team to see why they are referred to so often. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we're taking a look at the options for the Titans in the draft. It's interesting to monitor the fan base right now. Some are all in on quarterback, a lot more than I anticipated the last few days, hoping for something beyond quarterback, whether that's offensive line or wide receiver. I am interested, like if the wide receiver part of it, they're going to have to figure it out. I think we all would agree that they probably need to come away with two wide receivers in this draft in some form or fashion. So how exactly do you go about doing that? Like if Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the pick tonight at number 11, what do you think the reaction is to that pick from the Titans fan base?
I think more positive than negative. If he's – fire up that Rose Bowl from a couple years ago. That's who you're getting. And then Burks is coming along. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, Burks, Smith-Njigba, Chig. Okay.
Rose Bowl, he'll be real excited.
Well, yeah. That might be his rookie year full production, but I think it'll be relative. The interesting thing about the Titans fans who don't want a quarterback, I don't get the sense it's because, it's kind of like Chuck. I don't get the sense, how many people, let me try to do some math here, of that group of fans want them to not take a quarterback because they actually think this team can be really good in 23. And it's not impossible that it could, but I don't think it's a big number.
I don't think it's a big number either. And I agree with you, it's not impossible. I do think it's very unlikely that, and I guess it depends on what you mean by good.
Can
they contend in the AFC South? Yeah, I think they could probably do that.
If you can win your division.
You're not a Super Bowl contender automatically by winning your division.
If you can dodge a wrench.
You can dodge a ball.
Tampa Bay Bucks last year a Super Bowl contender? Probably not.
They had the goat.
I'm just saying.
They had the goat.
They got beat by about 1,000 points by the Cowboys.
I don't think so. I don't think it's impossible. Again, you'd have to have an incredible run of hits and very few misses on not just the draft, all these free agent picks, and also the health of a bunch of people. And then also Tana Henry in absolutely vintage form.
Yeah. The one part of this that I'm also really curious about that I just have never bought into throughout this whole process is the idea that you've got to fix everything else around the quarterback before you take the quarterback. I just don't buy that. And beyond the obvious of just if you fix everything around the quarterback, it's going to be really hard to get the quarterback in next year's draft. Beyond that part of it, it's just go back and look. The Jags didn't have everything fixed around Trevor Lawrence before they got him. The Bengals didn't have anything fixed around Joe Burrow before they got him. And as Kuharsky brought up yesterday, I realize it's different because you're not trading up to go get those guys.
Pick one, right.
But the point remains the same. You don't have to have every single thing in order around your quarterback in order to take him. Would that be great? Would that be ideal? Sure. If you had good receivers and a good offensive line for your quarterback to be drafted to and you could develop him that way, yeah, that would be awesome. But very rarely does it happen that way. You get the quarterback and then you try to protect him as best you can and you hope that you can put together a piece around him. Even Joe Burrow, they got the quarterback and the offensive line was atrocious, and unfortunately he got hurt. And then the next year, the offensive line was still atrocious, but they had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and all these other guys. Eventually, you surround him with pieces that you got to surround him with, but You worry about getting the quarterback first. Like, that part of it has always bothered me in this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand it's ideal. I mean, everybody, you buy a house, it'd be great if it was fully furnished and nothing needed to be fixed or painted, but how realistic is that?
Sean on the text line. Yeah, I did. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Sean on the text line says, Bryce Young or bust? I don't want anything other than Bryce Young tonight.
Well, Sean, I got some bad news for you, buddy. But then again, what if the Panthers take Levis right away? And it's like, oh, chaos!
The Reddit guy was right. It's Levis.
It was Reddit. The Reddit,
the Reddit
dude
guy was right all along.
Reddit Randy was right all along. By the way, Dane Brugler has his final mock out today.
Yeah.
If he's right about how this thing's going to go, oh, is it going to be fun tonight?
Oh, gosh.
I'll have to take a look at that.
He's got QBs falling. He's got the Titans sitting there, just multiple QBs at their disposal.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Sure.
I have no idea.
I can buy it.
Like, there's such a wide variety of opinions. Yes, on Richardson and on Will Levis, but also, I mean, Stroud now. Like, with all this stuff swirling around him, like, I would still be shocked if he made it to 11, where, like, the Titans are sitting there at 11, like, oh, yeah, C.J. Stroud's still on the board. But we've seen crazy things happen in the draft before. I mean, Aaron Rodgers fell to 25. So.
Exactly. Brady Quinn fell to whatever. Actually, that was, what it should have been. But, yeah. No, I mean, it's I'm with you. Like, the Stroud thing is – I don't know if you saw the interview. He's like, I'm not a test taker. He's talking to Jimmy White yesterday. The thing is, it's like, what's too bad about this is people are asking him again. They're asking him these questions thinking like his score is an 18. His score is not an 18.
Right.
One may have been. His actual score is much better than that. But he doesn't own it. He doesn't have it. Hopefully he gets drafted by a team that actually
shows to him.
Yeah, like if the Colts draft him, they can be like, hey, CJ, here's your scores. You actually did pretty well the second time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's the thing. The Colts know this. The Colts are one of 15 teams that have that information. So I just don't think there's any way Stroud gets past them.
Cam on the text line says, the best result tonight would be a trade down, picking up another day two pick and a pick to fill the gap between 72 and 147. Take a tackle in the first and then use two or three day two picks on wide receivers. The irate situation would be if Stroud did make it to 11 and the Titans pass on him. This from Cam on the text line.
I mean, if that happens, I will put mayo on my coffee tomorrow like Michelle and Junie.
Do not.
I wouldn't do
that. Do not, Joe.
I wouldn't even say
it. I'll say it because it's not going to happen. Okay? Uh-oh, I just said
it. Uh-oh.
6:40 a.m. April 27th.
This draft is going to be wild.
Yeah, something completely absurd is going to happen.
Well, there's always, two or three guys every year in the first round that either go way higher than you thought they were going to go or way lower than you thought they were going to go. But I feel like that number could grow this year. Like, I feel like there could be, like five or six guys where that happens to this year in the draft. Like, it's so the variance of what we could see tonight. Which is why we love it. That's why it's going to be exciting. Like, we got a text earlier that said this is basically like Christmas morning for people this morning. I mean, it's the NFL draft, to your point earlier. NFL does a heck of a job of selling really nothing actually happening other than people being selected to teams. It's pretty good.
Well, the draft's been a big deal for a long time, right? Like, I'm trying to think, it used to be. What did it basically used to be always on, like, that Saturday?
I think so. I think it was like
the
Saturday,
whole,
Sunday.
Maybe
wasn't it?
Maybe it was Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah,
and they also used to be more rounds. But I mean, even then, like, it was definitely a big deal. But yes, they've turned it into an absolute. I mean, what I have a problem with is, like, can we see the schedule for next year? No, we've got a 2-hour special. Come on,
just put the schedule out.
But this I'm cool with. I mean, this is pretty good.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All of that ahead. Make sure you join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes as well. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, you are up first for your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, I could be creative, put some thought into it.
You could?
You know, go for a deep cut. But no, of course I will take the easy route. Best thing is the NFL draft is tonight.
That is the best thing.
I mean, sometimes you just have to do the obvious thing that's right in front of your face. The NFL draft, and the reason the NFL draft is better than the other drafts is, yes, because the NFL dominates the news cycle and all that stuff, and the NFL is the most popular sport, but also because, for the most part, it's a lot of people that we've been following for years, too, because college football is so popular. I mean, that's the difference. Their farm system is actually its own huge industry. And I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. The drama, the show, and also, you know, you just to – when you know a lot of these players, then we were just talking off air. Darnell Washington, can't wait to see what that guy does in the NFL, you know? That's a fun part, too, is to imagine some of these players in different spots and how it's all going to work out. So, glad it's here. That's easily the best. The worst, I'm going to do my thing I do. It's just a lot of the crap around it, and this is every year. We're all sick of the mock drafts, although I just was all giddy going through Dane Brugger's last mock draft, so I guess I'm a hypocrite. I think the Stroud thing in particular showed I have a real problem with misinformation. Is something you expect. I have a problem with anonymous people just tearing people down and taking shots at people, especially if whatever happened with this S2 thing, if this is just a self-serving GM, you know, giving misinformation to a reporter to help him. So that bothers me. Yep. I would really like that particular GM called out. Now, if it's a little bit of a something lost in the translation, okay, but that still is part of why it's an easy worst in sports. A lot of it gets very tiring, and I think C.J. Stroud has taken way more crap than he deserves. So that's my worst.
There you go. Michelle Knezevic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, my best thing in sports, I don't know if you guys saw this, this kind of surfaced last night on Twitter, but it was a video clip of Giannis's press conference after they lost their series 4-1 to the Miami Heat. And essentially the player asked him a question and said, "Do you consider this season a failure?" And Giannis puts his hands in his head for a second and you think, oh gosh, what is he about to say? And then goes on, and I should have had the audio here, but you can find it on Twitter, and essentially goes on, you know, so often we look at these monster teams. We look at guys like Giannis, guys like LeBron, you know, even the Warriors trio, and you look at them and you think, okay, well, you know, they didn't make it to the finals, so failure, season failure. And so often in sports, people are easy to write a team, write a player, write a season as a failure. And essentially he goes on to say, you know, explaining how, you know, every year is a stepping stone and just because we didn't get to the ultimate goal. And I just thought he said it very, very adequately. And I think it's something that people should play for their kids. I think he had just a great version of, you know, just because we didn't win and we didn't get it, I mean, doesn't mean it's a failure. So I thought Giannis had a great answer in that. And because my brain is complete mush right now, I'm going to do another best in sports. The Memphis Grizzlies bouncing back. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but Dylan Brooks like deleted Instagram or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? Just get out of the drama. Just probably focus. Smarter. Focus on the game. The team looked great last night. The Lakers
looked better when he wasn't playing.
Yeah, he was rough a little bit. But, you know, Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, both double-doubles last night. The team is young, and they have the ability to play super fast. And now with a quick turnaround, I do think they could have a possibility to win this series. The Lakers looked old last night. They looked slow. And this Memphis Grizzly team, if they can wear them out, you know, I feel good about them in the next game. So, two bests in sports this week.
A double basketball best on draft day. Now that is dedication.
Yes. My brain is mush, guys.
It is.
Two bests is good.
I'm going to go triple basketball. The best in sports is Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
Oh, Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Buckets.
56 points the other night against the Bucks in game four. A fourth quarter comeback and then a 16-point comeback last night for the Heat. Again, and Jimmy Butler, I believe, had 42 last night. I mean, the guy is playing out of his mind right now. And I don't know how long he can keep that up at that level in the playoffs, but it's been the last two games, he has been unbelievable to watch. And they win. They're the first play-in team in the history of the NBA to win an actual series the next time around. And they take down the number one seed in the East. So, look, I don't know what that's going to mean. Like, are they just going to roll through the East now and come out and be the representative in the NBA Finals? I don't know. They got the Knicks coming up. That's game one's on Sunday. But as a Miami Heat fan, it has been a lot of fun to watch Jimmy Butler the last five games.
They
pulled me back in there. They did.
I like
it. Give him a contract extension.
There you go.
My worst thing in sports has yet to happen, but we're going to see it tonight. And I cringe every year when I watch it. Really, it has nothing to do with like the person or anything. It's just so awkward to watch. Hey, I just got drafted. Let's go dap up Roger Goodell thing.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Like some of the exchanges up there and like the hugs, it's cringe to watch. It's like watching your grandfather do some of that stuff up there. And it's like, Roger, what are we doing, man?
What's up, dog?
Hey, man. What's going
on?
Or
when somebody...
Like going in for the bro hug. It's like, oh, gosh, Roger Goodell going in for the bro hug. Sure.
Or
have at it, man.
Or when it's the home camera and you see somebody trying to hug the person who just got drafted and they're facing the other way and completely ignore them and it's like such an awkward encounterment. I love those too.
Also, like, you know, Roger Goodell, you know, he's 64 now. So, he's not a spring chicken anymore. And some of these guys that get drafted, there's some big old boys that get drafted out there and they're really excited coming up.
Lift him up.
And the squeeze and the lift sometimes, it's like, hey, man, ease up a little bit. He's going to get hurt out there.
Lucas Van Ness, break that spine. Be careful. Be gentle with Roger.
So just
that's a good one.
It's one of my favorite things to watch every year of just how cringe it is sometimes of the first round Roger Goodell hugs that we're going to see tonight. It's going to be pretty special.
Right after he gets completely
just
booed
totally
out of the
booed
place.
Out of the building,
yeah, and then everybody has
well,
to hug him.
And the best part about like the hugs, and people have talked about this before. It's like, oh, these players. It's a really exciting moment. They're hugging Roger Goodell. And then, like, fast forward 6 months, and, like, everybody hates Roger Goodell again. It's like, okay, we'll hug you this one time.
And then
stay away from me.
Yeah. Let's explain why you hate him now.
That's right.
By the way, Roger Goodell, since you brought it up, quick plug for Tim Graham has a really great story on him on The Athletic. I want to read this quote.
Okay.
Okay, it's about his legacy and stuff. You know, a lot of people, like, rip Roger Goodell, but, I mean, yeah, he does what the owners want him to do.
Correct.
Right? And he just does the owner's bidding. Here's a quote from a sports sociologist, Jay Coakley, about his legacy. Quote, do puppets have legacies? I guess Pinocchio has one. He could be Roger's inspiration and role model, end quote.
Jeez.
Let's take some shots at Roger Goodell on draft day. What do you say?
Cam on the text line says, the best is the draft in the NHL playoffs. The worst is Dylan Brooks is an absolute clown and has to go. This is from Cam on the text line. An absolute clown. Joey from Bellevue on the tax line says, the worst is Nashville SC's forward situation. Got to get Hani some help. Would be nice to
and
get him some help out there.
Traded away forward, too.
They did. Though Sapong, I believe, hadn't scored in almost a calendar year. So, that's a tough one.
Here's a William from Madison, I saw a quick thing on this. The best thing in sports, just like Moonlight Graham in Field of Dreams. Drew Maggie, if I'm saying that right, 13 years in the minors. He had like this.
I saw that.
He's basically Crash Davis. I hope you all get that reference. And he gets I saw the video clip of him getting up to the plate, like the whole place, like, in both dugouts giving a standing ovation. That's cool.
Pretty awesome.
Good call, William.
There's a nice video of him, like, while he's in the minors, getting the call up, and like everybody in the locker room going nuts down at the in the minors. It was pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman.
Yay!
We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft coming up tonight. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.